Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm David McDonald. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with Cardinal Ouellette of Quebec City. He was appointed by Pope John Paul II to really lead the Quebec people back into a personal relationship with Christ and to invigorate and infuse enthusiasm back into the Catholic Church in Quebec. It's no secret that the Church in Quebec really suffered over the last 30 years, and we're going to be speaking about that, and we're also going to be speaking about the upcoming 49th Eucharistic Conference in Quebec City, which will attract about 200,000 people from around the globe, including Pope Benedict XVI. And it's going to be an amazing event. Just a few weeks back, we had 700 youth with their hands in the air praising the Lord to amazing music up in Quebec City. There's a real resurgence happening in the province, and we're going to be speaking about that also. I'm going to ask Cardinal Ouellette about what it was like to be in the Sistine Chapel and be part of the team that chose the next pope in that historic moment just over a year ago. Later on in the show, we'll be speaking with Deborah Violette, who is the Assistant Director of Youth for this upcoming event, and she's going to be speaking about what's happening in the youth in Quebec and what needs to happen in order to draw the youth into a personal relationship with Christ. Please join us for the next 30 minutes on Bridging the Gap. Let's join the conversation with Cardinal Ouellette in Quebec City. Cardinal, do you feel that there's a resurgence of the Catholic faith here in Quebec?
Yeah, there is a real surge. And you have been with us for this youth gathering here. So we are preparing the Eucharistic Congress. And I think the coming of people from all Canada is a great news and an extraordinary moment of enthusiasm. And it is bringing to us in Quebec lots of energies and a sense of dynamism. There is a future also for the faith. There is hope. And the youth is awakening. And I think the future is getting brighter.
It's no secret that Quebec is, the church in Quebec has taken a tremendous hit over the last 30 years, in all of Canada, of course, but particularly in Quebec. What I see at the heart of the Quebec people, though, is this deep, deep connection with the church, perhaps more so than in any other part of Canada. What is it that we need to do to facilitate this resurgence and to bring people back to the church?
So I think here in Quebec, we have a great story of holiness, you know, among the founders of this church. And I think we need to tell the story, you know, of Bishop Laval, of Marie de l'Incarnation, of Marie-Catherine de Saint-Augustin. And so young people are discovering, you know, those extraordinary figures of our history, the Jesuit martyrs also, you know, who have given their blood for the faith. So that's part of our identity. And we need to tell the story and to convey the message to the young generation. And it is happening. And I think it will happen more and more. And I think these young people will become evangelizers. And we feel in them, you know, a search and a thirst for Jesus. And we have had now a moment of adoration. It was extraordinary to see, you know, their devotion. And they are doing their own discovery. And I think it will bear fruit.
You have made it a very strong part of your mandate to be available to people, even just being here today with us. I saw you walking through the audience just in the last few minutes accompanying you here, and you always had your hand out. You're going to the people. How important is it for us as a church to go to the people and to make ourselves available to them and show them that we are interested in them?
Yes, I feel and that young people in particular, but also families, need attention, need affection, need reconciliation, and it is important to manifest that openly. You know, to be very warm with people, to welcome their affection and to give them affection, and to convey the message that our faith is the key for human happiness. That's the key for human happiness. As Pope Benedict said in his first encyclical, you know, the Catholic faith is not against love. That's the way to live out human love to the end and to its fullness. I think we need to share that together. And from the Holy Eucharist, we can recover, in a way, the heart of our faith and of our enthusiasm.
Cardinal, you were involved in a very historic moment, the choosing of Pope Benedict XVI. How did it feel to be in the Sistine Chapel, having grown up as a Catholic your whole life, and all of a sudden to be there in a dream choosing a pope? What did that feel like?
It was a great experience of the spirit and of freedom. Because it was not evident, you know, to make the choice. But the choice was made, and quickly. And so that was an event of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit. And after a year, now we realize that the choice was extraordinary. The reception, the welcoming, even from the press, you know, which was not so enthusiastic at the beginning. Now, you know, it is... the interest is growing, and among the people come to me and they say, you know, we love him, we like him, and he is close to us. We feel his warmth, his human qualities. So I am very happy, and I think he will bring something very important to the Church and to the world.
His first encyclical was about the love of God. Was that a big surprise for a lot of people?
I think it was a surprise, and it was not a surprise to me, because I knew him, and I knew he would bring us back to the essentials. What is the heart of the matter? God is love, and we are created in his image, so we are created for love. And love is our vocation, love is our testimony, the love that comes from Jesus Christ, and that fulfills human love, and that cures also the weaknesses of human love. So it is an extraordinary message, and we need to meditate upon it and to bring it to practice.
Cardinal, when you were answering questions today and you made yourself available to the young people, what an extraordinary thing to do. Your theology was just so solid, and the youth were right there with you. What I'm seeing, Cardinal, is the youth's thirst for the truth, and their thirst for, they like the entertainment and the clapping and the, when, you know, when the Holy Spirit's moving also, those moments of the Holy Spirit, but they just love the theology also. Is that your experience also, Cardinal?
Yes, I feel that the youth is open, is very open. They don't have prejudices against, you know, the Holy Eucharist, the presence of Jesus. They thirst for love and for the meaning of their lives. And so I understand my own vocation, you know, from the beginning as a guide, you know, to help people to understand the religious meaning of life. And this, the key is Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit, which help us to understand and to confess that Jesus is the Lord and He is my Savior.
Thank you so much, Cardinal Ouellette, for joining us here on Bridging the Gap. I pray that Quebec will have a huge reawakening underneath your guidance, and I expect that to happen. And I pray that a whole bunch of Canada who hears this will be able to come to the Eucharist Conference in 2008.
Yes, so I invite some of the people of Ottawa and the surroundings to come as delegates or as believers to this Eucharistic Congress 2008, and we hope that the Holy Father will be with us.
Thank you. have with me here Deborah Violette, who is the Assistant Director for Youth at the 49th International Eucharistic Conference in Quebec City for 2008. Deborah, do you see anything new happening here in Quebec?
Whether it's new or whether it's just on a newer scale, it's hard to tell. But there's definitely something going on this weekend at this Youth Summit 2006. We've gotten about twice the participants we were expecting. Whether this is happening just in Quebec, I don't think so, because I think what has surprised us is actually the participation from outside Quebec. Not that we didn't think that people were interested, but the word about the Eucharistic Congress, because the Youth Summit is an event in preparations towards the Congress. The Eucharistic Congress is better known in Quebec because it's going to be happening in Quebec City, and we had gotten the word out about it fairly easily in the province, and we were just starting to spread the word outside. So to see so many people respond to the call from Western Canada, from Atlantic Canada, and even from the further reaches of the province to come to this Youth Summit has taken us by surprise. It's a pleasant surprise.
We've been here all weekend long. This morning at the Mass, it was packed. You didn't expect that. It's amazing to see the youth getting up early, and you know, they don't want to sleep in. They're excited to get up and to worship God. It's no secret that Quebec, the church in Quebec, has really taken a hit over the last 30 years. What is sort of some of the strategies that you're planning on to combat that, and how do you get the communications out that the church is relevant in today's society and it is a place where the youth can come?
I think the best communication we can get out is witness itself. And I believe that one of the great strengths we can bank on in Quebec and elsewhere is the young people. We know the difficulties that the church went through, particularly in French Canada, where a whole generation left the church. But now we're coming to a point where we have these generations growing up. They are completely free of the burden of these negative ideas that some people did have about the church, or even I don't want to put this in a negative perspective, but the wounds that a whole generation had because of the church. We have a whole generation now, these younger people who are growing up free of these wounds because their grandparents perhaps left the church. Their parents were raised without any link to the church. They're being raised with no link. And so no link, sure, they have perhaps no history, no background, but that means also no negative feelings. I think we can see a whole desire coming up from the youth. The human being is a spiritual being. We have a whole generation of people being raised kind of in absence of spirituality because that's the kind of society we're in. We've dissociated spiritual life completely from our regular life, or what we want to call our regular life. I think this is coming up. Young people have a desire, this need that needs to be fulfilled. And I think that's what they're coming to get here. That's what they see in God. That's why they want to answer the call for God. And that's why they come to these kinds of gatherings, these encounters. World Youth Day is one of them. Why are young people so numerous in these gatherings? Because they feel this need and they want to have it answered. Whether they've already met Christ and they want to deepen this encounter, whether they haven't yet and then they have this desire, I think that's what's coming up, and that's a good strategy we can bank on.
It seems like we Catholics are starting to come alive in terms of this personal relationship with Christ. It seems to be this sort of a new wave of perhaps in previous generations we were a little bit stiff. Maybe that's an understatement. And certainly in Quebec, it was very rigid in the 50s and the 60s. And at the time, it made sense. But we have a new reality today. We have a world where it could explode at any time. You know, all of us could go, you know, nuclear any moment. And we're learning a lot from the other denominations musically, and the way we approach liturgy and this kind of thing. What do you have to say to people who are perhaps not Catholic, who might be listening, who might be thinking of coming to the Eucharistic Conference?
Well, first of all, we'd be very happy to have you at the Eucharistic Congress. I think Catholics can learn a lot from the other Christian churches around us in a lot of aspects. Musically is one, in the liturgy, in multiple aspects. We have a young generation coming up now in the church who are interested in seeing new things and innovation, and they're open. These are young people. We are growing up in a generation where there are no more boundaries. In our whole planet, people travel everywhere. Multiculturalism is the key. And I think we can take that one notch further and say that I think there's more openness among people, even to other denominations of Christian faith. And I think we can learn a lot by sharing through that.
You have been going all weekend long. There has been just nonstop, constantly people are asking you for things. What's it like being at the center of an event like this? Where do you, draw your strength from, and how do you sort of guide your way through it?
Well, I feel I'm in a privileged position because I really am at the heart of it. But the heart of it, what is this it? This it is this team, this incredible team of, I would have to say, close to 60 young people who are working hard on creating this event, on putting it together, on putting it into action. And they've been doing that for months. And that's where I draw my strength. I've been impressed by these people, not only by their talents and their skills, because I've seen what they can actually do, but by their enthusiasm and their will to actually give themselves to, to this project, to God through this project for the church. It's amazing. Another thing is the enthusiasm of the participants at this conference, and their happiness at being here is overwhelming. Sure, people are happy to come to a gathering. We expect it, but you should see the joy in these halls. It is amazing. It is overwhelming. It's beautiful, and that's what drives me.
I can testify to what I'm seeing among the youth here is just remarkable. I was in Germany, 2005 World Youth Day, and it seems when Catholic youth get together, they just rock. And we're seeing that here also. We're seeing a real resurgence. And I felt at the Mass this morning, almost like a locomotive was getting started, and that there was a huge movement of the Spirit just starting here in Quebec. You invited Cardinal Ouellette to be here. He's a new cardinal who was appointed by Pope John Paul II. How's that all going?
Well, his presence here is going very well. Cardinal Ouellette, you can tell he's very much appreciated by the people around him who get to know him. When we introduced him here at the Youth Summit, there was this movement of applause that was really interesting, and it surprised me. He's a man who's very present. One-on-one, he has this amazing presence. Today, he was giving a catechesis and then absolutely insisted on fielding some questions by the audience. You can tell he takes real pleasure in this dialogue he can have with people, either one-on-one or even in a group. There's this presence and this charisma, which is really interesting, but there's also evident, very strong theological background. This is a scholar, very intelligent man. The message gets across. So here in Quebec, I mean, I am new to Quebec myself. I'm originally from Ottawa. I've been in the diocese only since January. So I'm still trying to feel my way around the whole thing. And it gives me a kind of privileged outside perspective on the insides of the church. And there's some interesting things going on in the Church of Quebec.
You're from Ottawa. This is an Ottawa show, as you know. What do you see different between the churches in Ottawa and the churches in Quebec?
Well, one interesting thing to note is I've been very involved. I'm a French Canadian. I've been involved on the French side of the whole youth ministry question and in the church on the Francophone side in Ottawa. And I think in that case, there's a lot of similarity between the French Canadian church in Ottawa and the Quebec church, obviously. It's interesting to note that, I mean, there's a lot of linkages being made between the English-speaking church and the French-speaking church in Ottawa, but it still remains kind of two realities. And I would even say it's two different cultures that have evolved. So if I'm coming from the French Canadian side of Ottawa and I'm going to Quebec City, that the differences are not that big. I think, though, that there is this societal difference in this whole kind of crisis the church went through in Quebec, I think was lessened outside of Quebec for all kinds of reasons. Or people imagined it was bigger in Quebec. What I'm seeing here, and I'm observing this a bit as an outsider, that actually there are many more believers and faithful and practicing Catholics in this province that we are ready to believe or that we see. I think for very valid reasons, the people who left the church because they were wounded by the church were much more vocal than those who remained in the church. And I think that can be for very valid reasons, because we didn't want to, put our finger in the wound. We didn't want to. But there are clear signs that, I mean, this church is still alive. It's been quiet. But now, because of this generation that I mentioned that isn't really touched by these wounds and is willing to speak about its faith and is willing to say things and is willing to live it openly and shout it out, I think that is changing. You can see it changing. One sign is the young people in Quebec. When we have forums and we have discussion forums and people that get together and they express their views, and one thing that's coming up is the need for visibility of the church in our society. The young people want it. The question of the Roman collar for the priest as a visible sign. Roman collars are largely absent in the province of Quebec for many historical reasons. Young people are saying, we want to see this. We want to see priests and religious people identified in their habits, because for us, it's a way to identify to our faith. These are things that are coming up in the younger generation. So I think there's a movement of change going on.
Well, as many people might know, the abortion rate in Quebec is the highest in the country. The divorce rate is very, very high. And I spent a lot of time in Quebec when I was younger and as a musician, traveling and touring. It seemed to be that there was this deep, deep link in the hearts of the Quebecois people, this deep, deep rooted Catholicism. And I'm just trusting that this generation will feel the full healing of that without compromising the faith. There's no secret that a lot of people would like to change, you know, all the doctrines of the church to make it more palatable for today's society. And certainly that's not what we want, is it?
No, of course not. The people who left the church did so, I think, for very valid reasons. There were faults committed by the church. There was a certain overwhelming presence of the church in all realms. I wasn't there to judge, but I think that was very valid. But you raise a good point, because of course the Catholic faith is deeply rooted in the history and the culture of the Quebecois. I mean, this country, Canada, started, was founded, the French came first and they came with faith. This country was founded by missionaries. The whole health system in Quebec, the whole education system was first started off by religious communities that came. Jacques Cartier planted a cross when he landed in this country. And that is part of the whole history of this province and of this people. Unfortunately, that was kind of brushed aside, and for good reasons, when a lot of people left the church and when there was this crisis in the 60s and 70s. I think we can see that people are coming back to the roots now. This is something that the Eucharistic Congress is really interested in bringing out. The Congress is being held in 2008 in the context of the 400th anniversary of foundation of Quebec City. It is actually an official activity of the civic feasts for 2008 for the 400th anniversary. It was requested by the mayor of Quebec at that time that we have to underline the religious presence. And so there was a request to have an international religious event at that time. So the request was made to have the International Eucharistic Congress. So it's part of the whole theme of the Eucharistic Congress to go back to our roots. We can even see that in the theme for the Congress is the Eucharist, gift of God for the life of the world. When you say this in French, l'Eucharistie, don de Dieu pour la vie du monde, don de Dieu, gift of God, is actually the name of the boat with which Champlain, Samuel de Champlain, came to Quebec City in 1608. So we can see that the whole Congress, there's a whole idea of coming back to our roots and recognizing the real role that the faith has played in our culture and still plays in our culture today.
So why are you so on fire for the Lord? What happened in your life that you were growing up through regular, grew up in a secular society? What happened?
World Youth Day happened. I have to say it like that because that was my revelation, as I think it was for a lot of young people of my generation and of the coming generations. Why? Because it's the reality. Young people feel alone in their faith because there's not many of us in the parish church. But when you get together and you bring together so many young people who believe in the same God in Christ, how can you help but believe? And that gives you the fire to want to develop this relationship further. And my life has been a succession of World Youth Days. And I say that not only in the sense of, sure, I've been to a few international gatherings, but it's the desire to always find once again and rekindle that flame that you feel at that event. You want to keep it going every day. And then your life is a succession of moments where either in individual meetings or in prayer with God or in large gatherings, you get that feeling once again.
I just interviewed a fellow who's 6'5", and he was at the World Youth Day, and all of a sudden he stood up his full height, and it was during a candle vigil, and all he saw was a sea of candles in every direction because he's so tall. And at that moment he felt the unity with all of the youth that were from all over the world, really. Did you grow up in like a Catholic family where they like solid, obedient Catholics and all that kind of good stuff?
It was solid obedience. Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a Catholic family that transmitted its values to me. We grew up going to church. We grew up involved in the church, serving the church in different ways. And that is the important basis. But faith is also a personal meeting with God, with Christ. And I think regardless of the background we have, that meeting has to come at some point. For me, it was in the context of the 1993 World Youth Day in Denver. But definitely the whole background that was given to me by my family, these values, the question of love, the question of faith, is the baggage that perhaps allowed me to meet Christ in that meeting in World Youth Day.
You say an important word, meeting Christ, like the way we meet a friend. And it's something, breathing the life of that statement into the church is such a large part of what you're trying to do in this ministry. What advice do you have to give to parents of teenagers who, oh, Mom, I don't want to go to, you know, or whatever. How would you help parents to get their youth interested in getting involved in this event?
I think meeting God is an experience of love. So obviously families, their first role is to love, transmit love to their children. I think that's the first important step. Second, youth cannot be interested in something they do not know. And too often I've heard in my work, especially in youth ministry, people saying, oh, don't talk to young people about God. They don't want to hear about God. That's the most false thing I've ever heard in my life, because young people do want to hear about God. Talk to them about God, talk to them about love. They'll take, they'll leave, but something will enter their heart and their spirit. They'll take what they need, they'll get what they need. God does the rest. I mean, open the doors, talk about it, and God will do his work.
Deborah Violette, thank you so much for joining us here on Bridging the Gap. And I pray that this rest of this weekend goes fantastic and that it takes us into the 2008 Eucharistic Conference with gazillions of youth.
Thank you very much. We know that a lot of people are praying for us. We can feel it. That's why it's working so well, and we can feel the Spirit blowing. So we really look forward to welcoming you all in Quebec City.
In section 1426 to 1430 of the Catechism, we are invited to have a second conversion, to have a personal encounter with Christ. It is a part of our Catholic faith. My prayer is that for those of you who may not have had that experience, that you will invite Christ to be the Lord of your life. If you'd like to get in contact with Bridging the Gap or order a copy of this show on CD, you can find us online at CatholicBridge.com. That's www.CatholicBridge.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, may God richly bless you and your family. I remember standing on that Broadway stage and thinking that I had it made.
But David McDonald fell into addiction and lost his voice completely.
For 3 years, I communicated by writing on a notepad. I never thought I'd ever sing again.
The Lord had other plans.
I remember that emptiness inside of me, and I didn't know Jesus back then.
But on a Christian retreat, the Lord touched David's life.
I picked up a guitar and I just started strumming on it and singing at the top of my lungs. And that night with 20 people meant more than my opening in New York. Because it was about him.
In the Holy of Holies, we fall down before thee. There is no end.
Life is the only choice. Available at Salem Storehouse. David's full testimony is online at www.davidmacd.com. That's www.davidmacd.com.
I don't want